On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory common ownership development. It is broadcast live from WEBR Fairfax, Virginia. Join us as we explore the world of common ownership development, the fastest growing form of residential development in America today. This housing concept includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes that are part of a mandatory homeowners association. Unfortunately, this type of housing is not as utopian as its advocates would have us believe. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means giving up part of the American dream. It means giving up constitutional rights and control over one's most valuable asset, one's home. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WBR Fairfax Radio, and I'm sorry about that, but you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining me on the Commons today is George Andrus, also known as the Jupiter Flag Man. Hi, George.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Okay.
I understand you're enjoying some really nice weather down there, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's about 80, sunny, a little breezy coming out of the south.
Sounds terrible, and you've got a flag flying.
Oh, definitely.
And
it'll never come down.
It'll never come down, and you're not going to, that's it. That's your word, huh?
That's it. And it's the word of the governor of Florida, and it's the word of the attorney general of Florida, because there's state laws, and now we're getting into a situation where besides state laws, there's federal laws. You got the Constitution of the United States, and we're working on all this stuff now.
Well, you know, you've been dragged in and out of the courts because you have a flag on a flagpole in your front yard on private property. And you managed, more than anybody else, to get a lot of national media attention, a lot of national coverage. But beyond that, George, you had your state representatives who were willing to roll up their sleeves and come on your side. You had the governor come to your house. He gave you a flag. He helped you hoist it up. He gave you $100 to cover the fines. But you still face losing your house, right?
That's right. The Homeowners Association is still pressing hard to get my house. They went before Judge Fine, who's the chief judge of Palm Beach County, and he used to be the foreclosure judge. And he gave the homeowners permission to go ahead with foreclosure procedure after they do a certain amount of paperwork, which would have to be turned back over to the court and then given to me and my lawyer. But he's saying to them that they can go for foreclosure if they want to.
Now, but you actually won your case.
That's right. We're going back into court on the 11th of this month before the same judge who found us guilty 3 years ago of violating the homeowner's documents because of the state law, the new state law that was written, and the retroactivity that was written into the law. We're going back before her for a permanent injunction against the Homeowners Association. Judge Fine, who is the chief judge, said that the retroactivity did not count in this case. And the state attorney general has made an opinion on the case and the law and said that the retroactivity in this case and on this law stands good. And he's behind us 100% now. The last two times we were in court, the attorney general had his people in court with us. Fact is, he had the director of civil rights in court with us.
And they're all on your side, and they're all basically telling the judge, this is the law. This is the law that we passed. You know, this is the law as we interpret it. This is what we want the law in the state of Florida to be. We do not want to give homeowners associations the right to be abusive. the right to prevent someone from flying a flag. And the judge basically is saying, okay, that's fine. We'll let him keep his flag, but we'll just take his home away from him. Have I got it pretty much?
That's pretty much the way the judge feels about it. He feels that because they wrote the new flag law, we can fly the flag, but the retroactivity, which would normally go back and cover anybody in my situation or anybody in the state of Florida who's in that situation, does not cover them. Well, with the Florida Attorney General's office is out to do now, they want to go ahead and have this law go before the 4th District Court of Appeals and let them pass down a ruling. And because they want the people of Florida to be able to be freedom and free to fly their flags as they see fit without the homeowners associations or the condo associations telling them what they can do. Back in 1984, the state of Florida wrote a law for the condo associations which prohibited them from prohibiting the flying of the flag at condominiums. And the association over in Tampa took the state of Florida into the United States District Court. And the United States District Court said that the state of Florida was perfectly in its rights to write a law that said you could fly the flag because it is covered under the Constitution of the United States and it would be infringing on the freedom of the people's rights. And, of course, the state of Florida won in court. And this case might wind up in the same situation again. Well, we don't know, but the state is 100% behind it, so we're going to have to just work on it.
Well, it's not only that. I mean, you've got so many people. As I mentioned earlier, you actually had the governor come to your house, hand you a flag that had been flying on the Capitol, helped you hoist it up on your flagpole, sat down and had a cup of coffee with you, gave you $100 because you were being fined. Are you still being fined $100 a day, by the way?
No. After the new state law came into existed in April of 2002, the fines would stop because the law was in effect and they couldn't do nothing about it.
So, but are you still on the hook for the fines before the law came into effect? Was it $7,000?
Well, what they're saying is that the fine that was put forward before, which was $8,700 because I had a fine for 78 days, the judge fined me $100 a day. They say that fine is still good, and the $21,000 that the association wants for their lawyer's fees is still good. But, like I'm saying, the state attorney general's office says that this law is a retroactive law. The state house, the state senate, the governor, everybody in the state who counts, who's elected, says that it's a good law. But we have judges who feel that they can do what they want to do in a court because they say it's their court. Well, the court doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the people of the county that you're living in. And they should be doing what the law says. There's a United States Supreme Court judge said quite a few years ago that a judge may not read into a law that's not written in the law. And these judges are just reading into a law that's not written in there.
And that's, you know, and we're seeing that all over the place. You know, we have a similar situation down here or up here, I should say, since you're down there, in Virginia. And during the second hour, we're going to be talking about a woman who's also facing a jail sentence, because the judge says her shrubs are not cut back as much as they should be, or as much as he would like them to be cut back. And it turns out that she's being held to different standards than everybody else, all her neighbors. But that's another example of what you're saying is, you know, the judge can read into it anything he wants to read into it.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been telling people. There's a Civil Rights Act that was written in the United States many years ago And that Civil Rights Act is still a good law. And if they have the time and they have a couple bucks and they can find a lawyer who's willing to take them into the United States court on civil rights, you should be able to win.
I don't know. We'll have to see how this is all going to work down. Now, your attorney, we've had Barry Silver on, and he sounds like he's one in a million. He's representing you for free, right?
Yeah.
But now, in one of the articles I read, it says that the association's attorney, and we're not going to give any names here because I don't want to give any more publicity than we absolutely have to. Because I know he likes the publicity, negative, otherwise, you know, he just likes the publicity. So we're not going to give it to him here today. But he says that he's pursuing this because if he allows you to win, George, then the association's going to be on the hook to cover your legal costs, which in this one article says exceeds $40,000. Where does he come up with that figure from?
Well,
any truth to that?
Yep. Oh. My original attorney cost me around $35,000, $36,000.
Okay.
And I've given the deal that I have with Barry, I pay for any court costs, any stenographers, any paperwork that has to be done, which is a little over $5,000 we spent.
Mm-hmm.
So we're about $41,000.
Okay.
And that's definitely what we're going after.
So basically you are going to go after that and try to collect that from the association.
Absolutely.
Good for you. I hope you get it.
Well, there's a couple of other state laws that we found, and under these state laws, we can go ahead and go after the board to get the money that we have spent. And also under these state laws, even though the Barry is doing his pro bono, if he wants to, he can charge.
Okay. He's just not going to charge you, but if he wants to, he can charge, and the association will have to pay for it.
That's right.
And
I hope he does it.
I hope he does it, too.
Because the association and the association lawyer are 100% wrong. As far as I'm concerned about the association lawyer, he's just a money grabber. He told these people that he could win this case. He didn't care, and they went along with him. And now it's beginning to turn around because the law was, you know, the original law was a good law. But because of what he's done and his actions, the state has turned around and wrote a new law and took homeowners associations out of the law completely. So now there's many a homeowners association that's very upstate in the state of Florida. Because under the old law, they had rules in their association that matched what the old law said. Now with the new law, their old laws don't count. So people are putting up flagpoles, and it's getting people very upset. And really, I tell them, I get people call me up and say, you know, because of what you did. I said, no, let's get this right. It's not because of what I did. It's because of what the homeowners association did. You should call them up and tell them what they did.
What, you mean people are calling you up and saying, hey, look what you've done to us?
Yes, the Homeowners Association, people on the boards.
People on the boards.
Have called me up and complained to me that because of what I've done flying the flag in my front yard, the state changed the law and now they have to go ahead and go by the new state law.
Oh, isn't that terrible? Let me ask you something. The law just protects your right to fly a U.S. flag, right? Or it doesn't say?
The Homeowners Association or the state law?
The state law.
State law says homeowners associations are prohibited from prohibiting the flying of one United States portable, removable American flag, regardless of any rules, regulations, or bylaws.
Because on the way to the studio today, and I made a mental note that I was going to ask you about it. On the way to the studio today, I passed a house, okay? And that house, it was a fairly large house, had two flags. There was an American flag, the Stars and Stripes, and there was a Canadian flag. Both flags were flying. There is no association in this particular area, so, you know, it's not an issue. Nobody's going to get all upset about it.
Right.
The normal people live there. And, you know, normal people are fine. What, you know, suppose these are guys, these are Canadians. And I don't know, but I'm saying suppose they are. Suppose one of them's a Canadian. And they want to fly their flag. I've heard of people flying the Union Jack, the British flag, because of the war, in support of what's going on in Iraq right now. Would that, should they be allowed to fly two flags, in
well,
your opinion?
I'll tell you. In a 1994 Supreme Court ruling on a case where a woman had a sign up on her property.
Yes.
The court said flags and signs are an expression of a person's feeling, and that if it's on private property, it is covered under the First Amendment of the Constitution, freedom of expression. So, it's like...
It's a First Amendment issue.
Excuse me?
It's a First Amendment issue.
Absolutely. And I keep telling people that. Fact is, the state of Florida is getting... the Senate has written a bill saying that military veterans may fly their arm, their service flags, like the Marine Corps flag, the Navy flag, the Army flag, on certain occasions. Well, I wrote a letter to the Speaker of the House, and in that letter I told him that with the state prohibiting these just to certain dates, that they were violating the constitutional rights of the people under freedom of speech, and that this law should say that they can fly the flag at any time in a proper way, just like the American flag. So we'll see what happens with that one.
So basically, it goes. Sounds good. Sounds like, you know, keep this up, George. I salute you. I'm really glad that you're doing this. But let me ask you something. Again, I'm looking through, there's been a lot of articles recently, as you might imagine.
Yes.
About your case. And like I said, you seem to have, you have this natural talent, I guess, for getting your story out there. And it's something that a lot of people find very difficult. Now, in one of the articles here, it says Boca Raton attorney Barry Silver, who represents Andres, said he will ask Fine to hold off issuing the foreclosure order so the case can be appealed. That appeal might not be filed if Andres is required to post a bond, which typically is required to guarantee payment by a losing party who takes the case to a higher court. Andres said he could not afford to post a $21,000 bond. Now, if Fine orders you to post the bond, that what happens then?
Well, that's another situation that I'm going to have to stand up and fight with. Under the state law, under the foreclosure law of the state of Florida, it says the only one who can foreclose on your house is the United States government or the mortgagee.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. It says it right in the state law. So, I mean, I'll get up and I'll fight him with it because he cannot do that legally.
Hey, didn't you buy a townhouse because it was carefree living, George?
Yeah, that's what I thought, you know. Nice, easy going, didn't have to cut the grass, you know. it's amazing the things that go on. In the town that I'm in, it's a nice town. It's about 25,000-30,000 people in the town of Jupiter.
Uh-huh.
And they put in a sign law. And they started making merchants in the city, in the town, the village, or town, take down signs because they said it didn't match their sign code. And I turned around and I gave them a copy of the United States Supreme Court ruling, gave each one at a town hall meeting. I got up and I talked. And I gave each one of them, I said, now you should all read this before you all wind up in the United States Supreme Court and lose a whole lot of money. 3 weeks later, the town changed the sign code.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because you see, this town attorney never told them about it. The town manager never told them about it because I had talked to the both of them. And because of the way the people on the board were acting, I knew that they didn't know what was going on. So I gave them a copy of that law, and we have a new ordinance in the town, and it does not exclude signs. And, you know, if they got one sign flying, they have to allow everybody to sign, put up a sign. If there's one flag flying, they have to give everybody permission to fly a flag. So they cannot discriminate against the people the way the state law was written, or the federal law was written.
Okay, but that's for the real government. That does not apply to the private government that we supposedly, allegedly all agreed to.
Well, let me tell you what's happening in the state of Florida.
Okay.
The state of Florida has a bill before the House and before the Senate. And in this bill, they're trying to make an ad hoc committee. In other words, a committee of people to go over homeowners' documents, the state homeowners' documents, and the condo documents, and the trailer park documents. And it's supposed to take 2 years to do it. There are 10 people supposed to be put up by the governor, 10 by the House, 10 by the Senate, plus some people from the Attorney General's office who will be the lawyers and stuff on this. And what's supposed to happen is they're going to rewrite all of the homeowners' state laws, and they're going to put everything together, and they're going to put it under one hat, and that one hat will be in charge of trailer parks, condominiums, and homeowners' associations. We're in the state of Florida right now. The only thing you have is trailer parks and condos underneath this committee, and I think this will work out, and it will do a good job for the people who live in homeowners and condos and trailer parks.
Is this committee doing anything?
Well, they're waiting. They're waiting for the House and the Senate to pass the approval for this board. I already wrote a letter to the governor and to the House and Senate, and I already donated my time to go on that board. I think I have enough experience now in homeowners associations and condo associations.
You volunteered your time. Good for you, George.
Right.
So when do you find out, basically, I guess you said the 11th, you have another court date, whether you'll... Is that the hearing for whether or not to foreclose?
No. The one on the 11th is for a permanent injunction against the homeowners board. And if we get the permanent injunction against the homeowners board, it'll automatically dismiss the foreclosure. And it will give us rights to go back after any money they have taken.
Okay.
Or anything that's cost me so far. And it will also give us the paperwork that we need when we go in to the 4th District Court. Now, because of the judgment that this judge just made saying that the law didn't count, I believe what's going to happen is the Attorney General's office is filing a separate case in the 4th District Court of Appeals to override the judge's ruling and to show that the law was a good law and that the judge was wrong. And Bronson's ruling, whatever way she goes, will go into the 4th District Court. So everything is going to wind up in the 4th District Court. My case and the new state law, I believe.
Wow. Now, this article also goes on to say that the association attorney has said that his board members are willing to negotiate a compromise to settle the dispute and not force Andrews to lose his home. My client is more than willing to be reasonable, he said. Everything is open to negotiation. Has there been any talk about the association dropping his fees? Because if everybody's going to be, it seems like he's the only one who's not being reasonable here, huh?
Well, the last time we were in court, the judge gave the association 10 days to have a meeting with my attorney and my wife and myself. Well, it has been 22 days now, or 23 days, and we still haven't had any hearing. So, from what I understand, because she gave them an order to do it, the Homeowners Association and their lawyer is in violation of the judge's order.
They're in contempt of court, huh?
Right. So, I don't know what to say. We would be glad to sit down and discuss it with them. And I know exactly what we're going to tell them. And I'm sure you know what I'm going to tell them.
I have a feeling I know, yes, George.
Okay. And their attorney, the last time I seen him, that was 4 weeks ago, he said to me, I think if you write the board a letter and ask them if you could keep your flag up, they'd be glad to let you keep your flag up. And I said,
after how many years?
And I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, there's the United States Supreme Court ruling. There's a constitution of the United States. There's a constitution of Florida. And there's a law in the state of Florida. You think I'm going to write them a letter? I said, come on. He didn't want to answer me after I told him that.
Oh, you see, they like to have you ask for permission, George. That's the whole thing.
Oh, I know. They would love to have that. Well, you know, I got permission 5 years ago to put it up by a previous board, and they didn't want to go by that.
But that was a previous board, George. Should they want you to ask them permission? Down on bended knee.
Yeah, I'm going to bend on my knees and give them permission. Yeah, I'm going to get it from them. I don't think they would give me permission anyhow.
Oh, they probably would at this point, but only because they know they have no alternative.
Well, you know... You talk about that, and you still see in some of the articles where it says that the Homeowners Association says he can only fly the flag on his building. There is not, at that time and not now, any rules or regulations in the homeowner's documents that tell you where to put a flag, the
That's
size
right.
of the flag, or anything else to do
That's
with
right.
the flag.
That's right. And none of them would, because the developers don't want to lose sales. I mean, if they put that in there in black and white and you agreed to it, then I'd say, okay, well, you know, George, it was there. You should have read it.
Right.
But it's not there. It's not in anybody's, because the developers aren't going to put it in there. But you know what, George? We're out of time. And I want to wish you all the luck in the world. Keep fighting. I really think I admire your spirit.
I'm not going to give up, and we're going to carry on. And Barry is happy with the way things are going. And
well, give my regards to Barry, and we'll have you guys on again and get caught up on your latest.
Okay.
And thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for calling. Have a good day.
You too, and enjoy that nice weather.
And keep warm.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.
WEBR Fairfax Radio. You're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. And I'm thrilled and delighted to have with me a very spunky lady by the name of Helen Mayfield, who comes to us from Houston, Texas. Hi, Helen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Let me tell our listeners a little bit about why what you've done. You are representing Lisa Wright, who is being threatened with a jail sentence for violating, I guess, a judge's order to trim her bushes, right?
Yes.
And you stepped up to the plate, and I understand you were in court yesterday.
Yes.
Would you like to give us a little bit of the background and tell us what happened and how you got involved and where this is all going to end up?
Well, I can't predict the future. I don't know where it's going to end up, but I'll just tell you how I became involved.
Okay.
Is a homeowners advocacy group referred Lisa to me because, oh, I guess this is the bad thing. I was new in town and representing some homeowners against their associations, and I was in court and they were out protesting, and they asked me if they could have my card. So this was months and months ago, almost a year ago. So this young lady had no attorney. Her attorney had gotten withdrawn from the case, and she was being threatened with, I guess, 30 days in jail and a $100 a day fine.
30 days in jail.
Yeah, it was, and so I represented her at the. She was found in contempt, and this was what he could potentially. It was what he potentially threatened her with. So I represented her. She came to me to appeal the contempt order.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and represented her at the compliance hearing. And at the compliance hearing, I presented witnesses who had, there were about 11 or 12 items on this list that she was found in contempt of on the alleged agreed order. Let me tell you what homeowners are doing, which is illegal. And judges are allowing them to do it, and that is this. They will bring a homeowner up for violation of a deed restriction. In point of fact, the homeowner may not be in violation of the deed restriction at all. But what they'll do is then they'll bring them up for injunction. And after they get a temporary injunction, they should have an immediate hearing. For either a permanent injunction, but they should have a hearing once the TRO is granted. What these judges are doing is not giving these clients their day in court. Instead, they are referring them to mediation or simply telling them to work out an agreement. Well, this little lady that they picked on had a stroke 30 days before and was on medication two times a day. She really was not in any condition to be involved in any 3 or 4 hour mediation proceeding with 4 or 5 lawyers there, because I think there were 3 lawyers on the other side plus a mediator, and then she had one lawyer who really should have withdrawn from the case because he should not have been representing her at all. When I talked to him, he was so angry with her.
This was the other attorney?
Her own attorney.
Okay.
Was defaming her, calling
Why?
Her names, insinuating that she did not have the mental capacity. He said she was crazy, just absolutely crazy as a best book, he said. You know, all kinds of things that I felt were defamatory. And then he hung up on me 3 times.
Oh, my goodness.
I did not even get the file, have not even gotten the file from him. So I felt that he should have withdrawn from the case. If he had feelings that strongly about a client, then he could not represent her zealously. And what he did was not represent her zealously. For example, she has had this natural yard for 15 years. Well, the statute of limitations for enforcing a deed restriction is 4 years. If he had just raised the statute of limitations issue, the case could have been dismissed. He did not even do that. Plus, there were other issues that he could have raised. For example, when he got in mediation, they modified her deed restriction. Well, this is against the law because the Texas Property Code says that the only one who can modify a deed restriction is a homeowner association.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be done by 75% of the homeowners association. So what the judge did was illegal and against the law in Texas. His order is illegal because he doesn't have the power to modify or revise deed restrictions, because the legislature has given that power exclusively to the homeowner association. And they must do it by 75% vote of the homeowner association, and then they register this deed restriction with the property office, you know, where you do your taxes and lien. It must be recorded.
Yeah.
So they violated this woman's rights, and she was just, I mean, you've had a stroke, and you're really not, you're recovering from the stroke. She really was not in any position, and her attorney told her that she had to sign this order, which didn't have to do anything but pay taxes and die. And she signed the order instead, feeling that she had to, even though she did not agree with it. Well, the judge is holding her to this order, which is an illegal order. He had no, the association had no authority to get her to sign it, and he should have no authority to enforce it because it's illegal. It's unconstitutional in Texas.
Helen, are you in front of the same judge now?
Yes, we're in front of the same judge.
Oh, dear.
So yesterday, it seems that we've had a packed court every time Lisa has been present because she is just getting a groundswell of support from the community.
Good.
For her natural yard. So we've had the courtroom filled every time. Well, you know what he did yesterday? He didn't even put us on the docket. You know, so if people were to come to the court and look to see who's on the docket, we would not have been on there, even though we were on there. So as, I guess, to keep her supporters away. But he's trying to, I guess, reach an agreement. He wants us to sign another agreed order, agreeing to for something that he isn't legally entitled to get, even under the order he isn't entitled to get it. What he is imposing is, he's saying that he must be able to see every window in her house and see the front of her house from the street. This is not in the deed restriction. It is not in his order of March the 3rd. It is something outside and beyond that he wants to enforce.
I read someplace that he also wants an inventory of every single plant in her yard.
Yes, this was part of the order. The order said that she had to provide the association with a list of every plant or piece of vegetation in her yard. Well, I felt this was absolutely ridiculous. Nobody can do that because weeds kind of can grow on their own, or plants can kind of grow on their own.
They
can blow from a neighbor's yard, or something can even blow from the sky, or can blow from miles around and take seed in your yard, or even an insect can bring it from somebody's yard. So
that's
you might not know necessarily what the plant is. So my client couldn't know this. And what I did was, for the compliance hearing, I had the Texas Department of Parks and Wildlife to go out. They sent a botanist out, and they identified all of the plants and gave us a three-page list of all of the plants.
You're kidding.
And we provided that to them, and they still held her in contempt.
You're kidding.
Yes. They specified. That was number 6 on the thing. He stated that he still found her in contempt for number 6. So if a certified or licensed botanist could not meet his test, could not comply with that order, then my client could not.
Well, let's, you know, we might as well serve your client is a landscaper, right? So she's a professional in this field, although I understand, just reading between the lines from everything I've read about it, that she's been out of work, presumably because of the stroke.
Yeah, because of the stroke. And
she's been unable to work?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
But she is a landscaper. She is a professional.
Yes.
She knows what she's doing, unlike me, who goes and buys things and sticks them in and then wonders what they are and why they're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But this is someone who's a professional at this.
Yes. Horticulture is her specialty. And she is she has a certified refuge that has been certified by the Department of Parks and Wildlife.
That's right. I read that, too. So what's the judge's problem?
Well, the judge...
What's the association's problem?
Well, they don't like her natural yard. But what they're doing is, the way they're going about it is not legal, because they are violating the deed restriction. They're going beyond the deed restriction. And there is a Texas property, under the Texas Property Code, there is a section 202.004, which says that what they're doing cannot be arbitrary, capricious, or discriminatory. And it is clearly arbitrary and capricious what they're doing, because they have no standard to determine whether she has complied with their order. There is no standard, because they're saying that her yard must be maintained. Well, she's maintaining a natural yard.
Okay, so that was something you said to me the other day when I was talking to you. You said that it was confusing and it was really impossible to follow the judge's order because the judge could just decide basically on his own whether it complies with his idea of what he was asking for, but there's nothing...
There's no way for her to know whether she has met his order or not. It is confusing, vague, ambiguous, arbitrary, overbroad. There is no way she could ever meet the order. It's not clear.
And what's the association doing in all of this? They're feeding him. This is what they want, right? The association attorney?
Well, I'm assuming that they are, but I can't say that because that would be alleging that there's been some ex parte contact between the association and the judge, and I don't have any way of knowing that, and I would think that with this judge, that would not be the case.
Okay, no, but I mean, I've sat in court and I've seen, you know, the association attorney say, Your Honor, this is what we want, and the judge says, okay, what else would you like? Here, let me give you some more stuff, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is exactly what happened in this case.
And this is what's happening over here.
This is exactly what happened here. The association came in and said, we must be able to see all of her windows in the front of her house from the street. And he says, yes, I agree with that. And more. I mean, it had nothing to do with her deed restriction.
And there's something about a fire hydrant, but I also saw photos of Lisa's mm-hmm. yard, and sitting right there, right in the middle, is a fire hydrant, bright red,
mm-hmm.
that's clearly visible. What's that all about?
Well, I don't exactly know what that's about. That is on the county's property, because beyond the sidewalk, out to the street, where the hydrant is, belongs to the county. And I guess what it is is that they required her to put mulch in the yard. So she put mulch. There was no grass there. So she put, part of that order was that they required her to put mulch there. She had some plants. I guess they were perennials there previously. But out of this mulch, there was some grass seed, and I guess some general weeds will grow up where there is grass. And since she does not mow her yard, she has very low ground cover four-leaf clover and some other low-growing plants that don't need to be cut.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even grow 3 inches. So that she doesn't need to cut her yard. So when they required her to put this mulch and stuff there, it created a problem. So out of it grew whatever grew out. And since she has a wildlife refuge, she didn't cut it down. She said, well, they must intend for that to be there since they required it to be there. They required me to put this mulch down. And they cut back a few things on it, but essentially That's the county's property anyway.
Oh, I see. Helen, in some of the reports I read, it said that while she lives in a sort of middle class neighborhood, and all of the other yards are, you know, grass with maybe one or two ornamental shrubs or bushes. But her house and her yard looks more like, and they named another development or another section. And I gathered just reading the articles that her yard was more like the ones in an upper class section, maybe a sort of more affluent neighborhood.
Yes, when the person that went out for the Texas Department of Parks and Wildlife stated that they viewed her neighborhood at the time that they went out and looked at leases, and that there were a number of people in the neighborhood who would also be in violation of feed restrictions, and they had shrubbery growing or other plants growing or cover that was growing that would be prohibited by the deed restriction, and that her yard with her cover, with the way in which she has grown her trees and her seedlings as they are now, and nothing in the deed restriction prevents you from having this seedling, would be excellent environmentally, because it would be cool in the summer, and Texas is very, very hot, and sometimes we have brownouts where you cannot water your yard. So it would be very environmentally safe, mm-hmm. and would reduce her heating bill, and it was very similar to homes that you might find in the River Oaks, Woodlands, or the University. And very similar yards and very similar shading.
So basically what you're saying then, Helen, is that her yard would probably reduce her need for air conditioning. It reduces her need for using water. It obviously reduces the pollution that one might generate if they were using a lawnmower. So basically, environmentally, everything she's doing is environmentally sound, and ultimately for the good of the entire country.
Absolutely.
And they don't like it. Now, you said that the judge, she was being threatened.
She was being threatened by jail. He asked her to appear, ordered her to appear, to present herself to go to jail for violating his order.
And now, in one of these articles that I have here, they're quoting him as saying, "I'm not going to make you a martyr by putting you in jail." So what made him change his mind? Was it just an idle threat? Or did he realize that he would look like a departing horse by doing something like that?
Well, I think so, because the courtroom was packed that day, and I guess she presented herself to for him to put her in jail, and the press was there, and the courtroom was packed. So I just think that politically he sort of backed back a little bit.
So you think it was a political decision? If the courtroom hadn't been packed, you want to just... hazard,
I guess. Been in jail.
You think she would have been in jail?
I think she'd have been in jail.
So it helps to have people there.
Well, I think it helped her to have the press there, and we were very pleasantly surprised. We did not expect to have the amount of support that we had in the courtroom, and even after that hearing, we were in a hearing Friday, and I had supporters were not there, but different supporters were there. So every week, we've had a batch of supporters there to give her support.
And that helps?
That helps.
And it's basically making sure that, I guess, it's like a homeowners association. You could roll over and you could let them get away with it, But the minute you start shining a bright light on them, they tend to scurry like roaches. And
I don't know about all that, but I tell you, we're certainly shining a bright light on them.
I've seen it, Helen. I mean, if a board member or an association thinks they can get away with something, and they will push until you start pushing back, and the minute there's a light shining on it, you know, all of a sudden, automatically, things are, well, we really didn't say that. No, we didn't mean that. We weren't going to throw you in jail. Are you kidding?
Well, they want her to compromise, and they want us to come to sort of some kind of an agreement. And
I'm not
coming to any kind of an agreement that's going to have them out there cutting down her trees and destroying her yard. And they had an opportunity. She's had this yard for 15 years. The statute of limitations is 4 years. They had an opportunity before this yard got to the level that it is now to say something or do something, and they did not. They slept on their rights. And if her attorney had been awake on his rights and raised the statute of limitations argument, which was an affirmative defense in her case, this case would have been dismissed and it would have gone away. We wouldn't even be here.
Can you do that now? Or it's
no, that was an affirmative defense. And now there is an order. So what we are doing is post-judgment actions. We filed a motion for new trial, and we filed a bill of review, arguing that the order that they got was improper, because that is not a proper way to revise and modify a deed restriction. You can't modify or revise a deed restriction by court order, because the legislature has spoken and said, you don't have that right, Judge. Only a homeowners association can, and that's through the property code, section 202.002, 3, and 4. Only the association can, and 75% of the association must file an approval for a modification or a revision of a deed restriction. And they didn't do it. So his order is illegal. He didn't have the power and authority to do what he did. And he's proceeding.
So basically your job is a whole lot tougher now coming in, because now you're attacking basically the judge's order instead of saying, hey, they don't have the right to do this.
Right. We're doing a collateral attack instead of her being able to raise her affirmative defense that the statute of limitations is run. You have 4 years to enforce the deed restriction. And if you don't do it in those 4 years, you waive it.
How?
Her lawyer didn't even raise her basic affirmative defenses.
How?
So this was just a very poor job of lawyering, unfortunately. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be here. She wouldn't even be facing jail.
Is she still facing jail, Helen?
He stayed the punishment, but he ordered her 24 hours of jail time. He can reinstate that any time. He just stayed the punishment. And he also instituted the $100 a day fine.
And
so she's still under that threat.
So does the work you're doing, is so she's still under the threat of that, and she's still being charged the $100, but can you get that reversed, do you think, based on the legal maneuverings that you've undertaken?
Oh, my God. I would be the last one to predict what judges are going to do, because my experience is that there is the law, and then there's what the judges say is the law. And in Texas, judges don't tend to follow the law. That's been my experience. They feel like the law is for somebody else, but it doesn't apply to judges.
That's nice.
Somebody wrote the law and somebody drafted, but it's like in the old days of Hamilton? I can't remember. One of the judges said they made the law and I let them enforce it, because he had no intentions of enforcing it. And that's the way most of the judges are in Harris County.
Isn't it interesting that those who are the most preoccupied with enforcing and ensuring compliance are the last ones who can comply themselves.
And
it sounds like you're dealing with that. Helen, I want to thank you so much. I wish you all the very best, and it sounds like the Texas homeowners have got a good advocate on their side, and I'm really, really happy to see you there.
Thank you.
I want to thank you on behalf of all of us, because whatever you do is going to affect us. And I wish you all the luck. And, you know, I hope you'll keep in touch and maybe come back when you've got another case you want to talk to us about.
I do have one I'd like to talk to you about.
All right. But we're out of time today, but can we talk about it?
Yes, we can.
Privately?
Yes, we can.
Sounds great. That's wonderful, because that's what we try to do on this show, is bring these issues out here, and maybe from what you've told us, somebody else can pick up on it. And we're just providing a balance to the information that's out there, which is typically one-sided.
I am so happy that there is a show like your show. I didn't know that you existed, and I'm so happy that you called me, and I'm delighted that Lisa's position is being heard, because somebody has to stand up for the little man.
I agree.
And that seems like I'm going to be one of those kind of attorneys.
I'm glad to have you on our side, Helen.
Thank you.
But we're out of time, and I want to thank you all for joining us today. And please be sure to tune in next Saturday from 2 to 3, where we'll be coming back to you with On the Commons. And, of course, don't forget that from 1 to 2, it's your turn, and you can call in. So give us a call then. Stay tuned, because coming up at 4, it's Squire with Night Train. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. See you all next week, and have a good one out there. Jeez, it's great.